pray, and we will go to the good book and see what the Lord has for us. God, we thank you this morning for your confirmations. We thank you that you are a good, good Father that speaks to us. And Lord, even when we don't listen at times, you speak to us again and again and again until we receive, until we acknowledge, until we believe what you're saying to us. And I thank you for all the various ways that you speak to each one of us. I thank you that sometimes it's through a person, sometimes it's through an event, and many, many, many times it's through a dream. So I thank you this morning for every word that you'll confirm. I thank you that you're going to inspire us. I thank you that you're going to allow us to see things differently so we can make changes, so we can advance the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. We love you this morning, God, and we pray that you will give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the living God is saying, and by faith consider it done. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture this morning will start at in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 37, verse 20. Genesis chapter 37, verse 20. It's the story of Joseph, who definitely had a lot to do with dreams. For those of people that will hear this message that didn't get to hear what Brother Kevin was talking about, is he had a vivid dream, and definitely, I can't wait to see what the Lord shows us through that dream. But dreams are extremely important. Dreams are a way that I believe God gets us to settle down, that when we're at some of our calmest, that when we're at some of our most peaceful moments, I believe that's when the Lord speaks to us. So we have Joseph. Just for the backstory, Joseph has had a couple dreams. Joseph has had one dream that a group of sheaves, S-H-E-A-V-E-S, it's like grain stalks, were gathered around, and they were showing him honor. And the second dream, the Bible says, that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars gathered around and bowed down to him. His brothers took this as a sign that he was going to be in charge. His brothers took this as a sign that he was going to be the one at the position of honor, even though he wasn't the firstborn son. Joseph's father, Jacob, had given him, the Bible says, a coat of many colors. Just for sake of time, I don't have time to go into that. Maybe we will one day, but it was a beautiful a piece of clothing. It represented many, many things. The brothers became jealous. They became jealous and so enraged that they had a plan to kill Joseph. They wanted to kill their brother just because they were jealous. They wanted to kill their brother just because things weren't done in the order that they thought they should be done in. They wanted to kill the brother just because he had a couple dreams that God gave him. Brothers and sisters, please, please know that when we begin this walk with God, that when we're on this walk with God, that doesn't mean that all the haters go away. It doesn't mean that all the enemies go away. But it does mean that in the presence of our enemies, we can have peace. We can have rest. In the presence of our enemies, we have absolutely nothing to worry about because God, Abba, is watching over us and he is faithful and just to perform exactly what he told us that he would do through his word and through dreams and through visions and through whatever means that he chooses to speak to us. So we pick up here. It's where Joseph's brothers are gathered around. They want to kill him. And in Genesis chapter 37, verse 20, the Bible says, well, we'll start at 19. Here comes the dreamer, they said. They're mocking him here. Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. Then we will see what becomes of him and his dreams. The first thing I want to pull from the story this morning is don't allow other people's unbelief to affect your relationship with God. Just because everybody's not wanting to go, everybody's not on the same are on board with you, so to speak, or just because everybody doesn't understand some of the things that God is doing and has done and will do for you, doesn't mean that you need to feel less than. It doesn't mean that you need to feel like you don't deserve it. It doesn't mean like you need to feel like you can't make things happen. The truth of the matter is you and me cannot make things happen, but if God has saw fit to show favor to our life, if God has saw fit to bless us financially, physically, spiritually, mentally, or all the above, we shouldn't feel guilty. We should never allow the enemy to ridicule us or to condemn us when God is on our side. And I know that's kind of a simple thought this morning, but how many of us has God did something for or performed a miracle or healed us or healed a family member and our instant thought says, well, why didn't God do it for this person? I don't think I deserve this because God allowed this person to die or God allowed this person to still suffer or God allowed this person to do this, that, and the third. And we feel almost condemned or we feel less than or we feel like God made a mistake. Rest assured, God of all creation made zero mistakes in the past, in the present, and he'll never make a mistake. We make the mistake. We don't understand how fascinated God is with us. We don't understand how much in love he is with us. We don't understand that he is a good, good father. Many weeks, if not every week, when I talk to God on Wednesday mornings, I say, God, I thank you that you are exactly who you say you are. What does God say about himself? He says everything that Jesus says about himself. Don't look at God as, and I think I even said it last week, but don't look at God as the judge and the God with lightning bolts and the God that's there ready to scold us. Anything you think about God, we have to see in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's a big thought. It's a new thought to me. But when I read the scripture and I talk to God and I pray to God, I have to understand that the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus are one. And the Bible says that God was in Jesus reconciling the world to himself. God is as good as Jesus. God is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is God. There's a perfect Trinity. And this morning, when they see Joseph from afar, they say, oh, here comes the dreamer. Here comes the one that has these miraculous dreams. Here comes the one that thinks he's better than everybody. Here comes the one that thinks he has it all together. Did Joseph say any of these things? No, but people will throw accusations our way just because God is blessing us. And we shouldn't allow that to condemn us or to slow us down. If anything, let that be the fuel to your fire. Let that be something that causes you to want to get closer and closer to the Lord. So in verse 20, the Bible says again, come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we will see what becomes of his dreams. They were trying to kill their brother just to prove that his dreams were ridiculous. Just because they didn't understand, just because they couldn't see it, just because they were ignorant to the fact of what God was going to do in Joseph's life, this brought about rage. This brought about them having a spirit to murder. This brought about many, many negative things. And when they see him from afar off, they say, listen, here comes this dreamer, and now let's see what becomes of his dreams. They thought that they could stop the plan of God. They thought that if they threw him in this hole, that if they killed him, that they could stop the plan of God. But hallelujah this morning, how many of us are grateful for people that will intervene in our lives? How many of us are grateful when God sends people our way to step in, to intervene, to show us a better way? The Bible says in verse 21, but when Reuben heard of the scheme, he came to Joseph's rescue. Reuben is one of the brothers, and he said, listen, let's don't do it this way. Let's don't kill him. Let's just throw him into a hole. Brothers and sisters, I promise you that if we will serve God, God will always send a Reuben our way. He'll always send somebody to avert the plan of the enemy. He'll always intervene in our lives if we're praying to him, if we're talking to him, if we're believing him, if we're trusting him to be the one to accomplish our dreams. You see, it's great, it's wonderful to want things for our kids, our grandkids, our brothers, our sisters, whomever it may be. But I want to challenge us this morning to know that you need to have dreams for yourself. I need to have dreams for myself. If God shows me something, then I shouldn't dismiss it because I want something good to happen for my son or for my daughter or for my wife. You see, we serve a big God. We serve a God that is so good and so big that he can accomplish the dream that he set for your life, for my life, for Alex's life, and for everybody's life. That is the power of God. Sometimes I had a headache a couple days ago, and I had a real silly thought, but it was still real to me. I was asking God to heal somebody and praying for them. And I was like, Lord, it's okay that if I keep this headache, but if you'll just heal this person. And instantly God reminded me, I can do both. Why do we look at it? Why do I look at it like God only has a couple healings in his hand, or God only has a couple blessings in his hand? The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And if it's God's, then he's called you and me into a relationship with him that he wants to bestow. He wants to give these things to us. But the question is, are we dreaming? This morning, I don't know, 5-10 minutes before I got on to talk to you guys, God asked me the question, are you dreaming? And right when I get on here, Brother Kevin begins to talk about a dream that God is showing him. And I thank God that God can ask me a question and give me an answer in just a couple minute period of time. You see, I believe a lot of us have allowed our dreams to be put out by the enemy, or our dreams we think they're too big for God to accomplish. We think God doesn't have the resources or have the ability, or I'm not good enough, or I sin too much, or I'm less than, so God won't. Listen, brothers and sisters, if God placed a dream on the inside of you, this is the good news. This is the amazing news. When God places a dream on the inside of you, all you got to do is sit back and be faithful and believe. You don't have to perform it. You don't have the responsibility to make this end meet this end and make this person do this. All you got to do, Brother Kevin, is sit back and say, yes, God, I'm in the year of Jubilee, and I say yes to whatever you have for me. It's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God in his goodness saw that we messed this whole thing up with creation. We messed everything up with sin, and he decided to fix it. And the only way for God to fix you and me was to send his only begotten son down here to die and to resurrect from the grave on the third day and to go sit at the right hand of the Father forever making intercessions for you and me. That is absolutely the gospel. But why have we stopped dreaming? Because we think we don't deserve it? Yes. Because we think it's too hard? Yes. But I want to encourage you this morning to revisit your dreams. God is a God of resurrection. And just because God gave you a dream 30, 20, 10, even maybe 5 or 2 years ago, that doesn't mean that God cannot resurrect that dream today. And it's important. It's important for people around you to see you dreaming, to see you living out your best life, to see you trusting God in spite of. You see, Joseph in this story did absolutely nothing wrong. He told a dream about what God had given him. And it brought wrath, it brought anger, it brought confusion, it brought malice, it brought all these negative actions into Joseph's life. And yes, Joseph had to suffer. The Bible says, just for the sake of time, that they threw Joseph into the pit. And when a few moments later they were sitting around, or a few moments later they were sitting around and they saw a group of people coming their way, the Ishmaelites, if I pronounce that right. And when they saw them afar off, they sold Joseph into slavery. You see, not only did God send Reuben to rescue Joseph, he also sent a group of people to get him out of there. You see, sometimes our rescue when we're following God or our plan or our life doesn't look exactly like we want it to. Do you think Joseph was happy about getting thrown into that pit? Absolutely not. Do you think Joseph was happy being sold into slavery? Absolutely not. But Joseph trusted the process. Joseph never stopped believing. He never stopped dreaming. And the Bible says that later on, everything that Joseph would do, God would bless. And because Joseph believed the dream, God brought him to a position of authority, a position of power. And the Bible declares that God was blessing absolutely everything that Joseph touched. Brother Kevin, I believe you're a Joseph. I believe that God will bless everything that you touch as long as you continue to honor and believe what God has given you the ability to dream. I believe it's a word from the Lord. But I also believe that if you and me have a dream from God, that God will and does have the ability to bless everything that we touch. If we will honor Him, if we will go after Him, if we will say yes to what He's allowing us to dream, and believe it in spite of everything around us. One of the things I think about when Joseph was in that pit, I imagine Joseph looking around. And I believe it was dark. I believe that all he could see around him, 360 degrees, was earth, was hardness, was roots, was things that were either dead or that didn't look alive. And in the middle of that, I wonder to myself, did Joseph think, was it worth telling my dream? I think he did. I think Joseph thought, was it worth sharing? Was it worth letting people in? Was it worth allowing people to see a part of me they'd never seen before? And I know a lot of us this morning have those questions. We've been hurt by somebody. We've been hurt by many people, or we've been disappointed, or people have angered us because we've allowed them into our inner circle. And it's okay to be hurt, and it's okay to go through those emotions. But what I want to challenge us with this morning is when you're hurt, when I'm confused, when I'm mad, when I'm frustrated, when I think it'll never get any better, don't let go of that dream. Don't let go of the dream. You see, it's easy to believe the dream when we're on the mountaintop, but when we're in the pit, when things are going on around us that are contrary to what we think should be happening, it's so easy for us to let go of that dream. But I believe Joseph was able to hold on to the dream. I believe he was so secure in his relationship with God that he thought, listen, God, if you allowed me to dream it, then you allowed me to share it, then I believe you're the one that's going to bring about deliverance. And God did these things, and we know the story goes that Potiphar's wife tried to have a relationship with Joseph, and Joseph goes back to jail. He goes back to slavery. And the Bible says that a baker and other people had dreams, and God gave Joseph the ability to discern, to interpret the dreams. And ultimately, the gift that God placed on the inside of Joseph is what got him out of his situation. Brothers and sisters, in closing this morning, the gift that God has placed on the inside of us, being Jesus Christ, the gift of faith is the thing that's going to get us out of every pit that you and me place ourselves in. It's going to be the thing that gets us out of every pit that the enemy places us in. It's going to be the very thing that gets us out of every predicament we face. Our faith is what's going to allow us to get back to the palace. Our faith is what's going to allow us to dream in spite of. You see, Joseph didn't feel like dreaming when he was in that pit. And I promise you, Joseph didn't feel like dreaming when he was in that prison. But because Joseph dared to dream, I believe God brought about deliverance for nations. I believe God brought about healing for nations, because later on in the story, because God gave Joseph the interpretation of dreams, millions and millions of lives were saved. Because he stored up grain, because he stored up food, because God gave him the spirit of wisdom, because God gave him everything he stood in need of. But it all started when Joseph was in that pit. I believe the story would have went different if Joseph stopped believing the dream. So why has our story changed? Why have we let go of the dream that we had 20, 30, 40 years ago? I want to encourage us to know that it is great. And I said it before and I'll say it again. It's great to want things for our family members. It's great to want things for our husbands or our wives. But it's absolutely okay in the kingdom of God to want things and believe things for ourselves. You are a city set on the hill that cannot be hidden. You are light. And this world needs light. This world needs to see the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. This world needs to see you dreaming your dream. This world needs to see you believing your dream. And ultimately, this world needs to see you living out your dream. It's one thing to receive it. It's another thing to believe it. But it's a whole nother thing to live out what God has promised you. God is on your side. God is on my side. The Bible says he's the good father, whereby we should cry out, Abba. The number one reason I believe most of us, if not all of us, let go of our dream so easy, or don't push towards our dream that God gave us, is because we refuse to look at God as Abba. We refuse to look at God as good. We refuse to look at God as good as Jesus. We separate the two. But this morning I'm telling you, God is good. And it's a catchy phrase, but I want you to hear that in your spirit this morning. God is good. And you've not gone so far that God cannot accomplish that dream that he placed on the inside of you. You've not done it wrong, or you've not given up on it so long ago that God is not able to perform exactly what he told you or whispered to you or allowed you to dream in the midnight hour. Brothers and sisters, this morning the word is to dream. And I mean that as an action word. I want you to have the dream, and then I want you to live out the dream. I want to live out the promises of God. I want to dream so big that I think there's no way I can do this. And that's right where God will meet me. Because there is no way that you and me can do things without the Lord. There's no way that we have the resources or the ability, but God is faithful. And God will not disappoint you like a family member or friend has. We refuse to believe God because we think that God will disappoint us or let us down or leave us or manipulate us. And that's not the God that we serve. He is good. And he is the God of dreams. Never let somebody tell you that the gifts of the Spirit are something that happened back in the Bible times. That's one of the biggest lies of the enemy. Why? Because the enemy knows that if he can convince you and me that dreams don't happen anymore, that speaking in tongues doesn't happen anymore, that the laying on of hands and people getting healed miraculously don't happen anymore, then he knows that he can take the fire that's on the inside of us. He knows that he can persuade us from living out our dream. You see, the devil's okay if we'll have a dream and forget about it. But when we pursue the things of God, when we pursue the dream that God has placed in our lives, that's when things begin to happen. That's when things begin to move in our lives. And that's when people around us see something different about us and they give God the glory because they know that we didn't have the ability to do it. I pray this morning that your dream is bigger than yourself. I pray it's so big that only God can accomplish it. Joseph had a dream, and that dream came about absolutely. But not only did Joseph's dream get to fulfillment, he got to a position of authority unparalleled to anybody else. He was the boss. He had it going on. He had money beyond compare. He had absolutely everything he could ever want in his life, financially, physically. He had it going on. But I believe what meant more to Joseph than any amount of money or wealth that he had is that that boy that was thrown into that pit was the same boy. It was the same man that God had raised up and I believe helped save millions and millions of people's lives. Joseph believed the dream and look how it benefited, the benefit it had for everybody around him. For the people thousands and thousands of miles away, Joseph believed and he brought about life to them. If you'll believe, how much life, how much power, how much love, how much forgiveness will that bring to others around you? Let's pray. God, I honor you this morning. I thank you for the dream that you've placed on the inside of each one of us. And I thank you for the dreams to come, the visions, the signs, the wonders. I thank you that you've placed it on the inside of us. And God, just like Joseph dreamed, I pray that you allow us to believe the dream because you are able to perform it. God, I rebuke any doubt, any unbelief, any fear, any worry out of my brothers and sisters. And I pray that you will be faithful, God, to do exactly what you said. I thank you that you're good. I thank you that you are Abba. I thank you that you are a good, good daddy, that your plans are to bless us and to keep us and to hold us. And by faith, we consider these things done, giving you glory, praise, and honor. You're good, God. And we love you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.